to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, by Father John Muhlendyke.
Interesting readings for an interesting time. Armor of God, devil's wiles, hope. Any of you getting sad lately? Anybody tired yet? Anybody anxious? Taliban, Taliban, COVID, COVID, vaxxers, vaxxers, anti-vaxxers, anti-vaxxers. ICU admissions, children in the hospital, immigrants over the border, hurricanes, floods, droughts, no water, reservoirs running dry, and then text messages, text messages, text messages, text messages, text messages, enough. Maybe it feels like you're being hit with those arrows of the devil, and perhaps you are. For me, I'm ready to cry. I've just, at times, just about had it. Can't listen to any more news or anything. How much worse can this get? I think these are overload times. You can take so much, but when you put so much on top of it, it's just too much. You're overloaded. And perhaps we've been overloaded for years coming up, but with all of the technology and all of the information, we just can't take any more in. I think these are times to begin to live differently, and we need to reclaim how we need to live in order just to keep our sanity. We have to slow down, really. We've got to open our eyes, see life for what it really is, and learn from God what He wishes to teach us. Remember the words of Christ along this journey. He says, "I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. So why are we bothered about being anxious and distracted and sad? I think one of the major reasons is because we're programmed to control. We need to try to be in control. And we would like to have a life that goes just the way we want it. And then everything will be okay. And by not getting that life, it means we're not in control. And we don't like that. In essence, we want to be like a little God who's in control of everything. Problem. I remember learning this the hard way, of not being able to be in control. And I was just a little kid, you know, 4 or 5 years old, one of those little ones that run around and scream and yell. I wanted to fly. And so I laid on the ground and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and hoped I could fly and try to fly. And nothing seemed to happen. At least I wasn't on the top of the roof. No matter how much I wiggled and rolled and stuff, I could not fly. So I guess I'm not going to get what I want. But it was okay. It just didn't work. Perhaps our anxiety and worry and despair about the events in the world comes from a distorted belief about God Himself. Too often we think that if God's good and caring, then He wouldn't allow all of this chaos to go on. Why should He? He's good. Why doesn't God just step in and remake the world? Make it like we think it should be. Problem is, that's not God's nature. A loving God can only be a great allower. God allows for all things, whether we think they're good or bad. For change to occur, God waits for us to do what is right and just and loving. He waits for us to change the world, us to change the world. And in the process shows compassion, mercy, and even justice. I am with you always, even until the end of the ages. Worry not. The Apostle Paul in today's epistle reading does a good job of giving us the tools for figuring out how to stay centered with God. Paul writes, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may stand against the wiles." Those are the strategies of the devil. It doesn't say to put on the armor of God to go to war, but put on the armor of God in order to be able to protect yourself. This is a time for protecting ourselves. Worried, anxious, despairing? Put on the armor of God. I have images of the armor of God. These are one of my best passages as a kid, and it's also one of the worst ones. I remember young, I don't know if you remember this, but because I'm pretty old, teachers would cut out pieces of flannel and put them on a flannel board, and they would have all the characters, and then they would move them around, and then half of the pieces would fall to the floor, and you'd go back and put it up. Well, they had little armors of all these little guys, and the teachers would put them up, and I thought that was kind of cool. That was cool until I got a little bit older, and then instead of putting the flannel board, because I somehow outgrown that flannel board, they gave us pieces of paper to color in. And of course, there's this soldier on there. The only problem with the soldier that they gave you these big crayons, so that if you try to fill in the sword or the shield or the helmet, it goes all over the place. So you're just frustrated and you feel like taking the paper and just crumpling it all over. And then I would say, okay, it's a soldier, but where's the war? I was always confused as a kid. Paul helps us on with that. And then, of course, I forgot to say too, after you're done with that, they sing Onward Christian Soldiers. So just to reinforce that, Paul says we're not fighting against human beings, against blood and flesh, but against cosmic powers and against cosmic powers of the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We need to protect ourselves. What you're feeling out there with this anxiety and this polarization and me against you and one side against the other side, that is the work of Satan. It works to keep you off your center, to keep you from centering in God. And if you find yourself being caught up in this side or that side and taking a really hard position, you need to go back and check to find out, where's my center with God? That's all that's important. We're on this journey as Christians, and when we came into the church, we said we wanted to do life differently. And that's to keep God in the center of everything that we do and not be distracted by all this other things. We don't know how things are going to turn out in the world. God is still there. God's working his stuff. It's not for us to fret. It's to stay centered with God. Paul says, get prepared in order to stand firm. Put truth around your waist, not a leather belt. Put on a breastplate of righteousness, not one made of iron. Put the shoes of peace on your feet, not your track runners. And then he says, take the shield of faith, not made of copper, so that you can quench the flaming arrows of the evil one, and then put on the helmet of salvation, one made of metal, and pick up the sword of the Spirit, not made of iron, but one which has an eternal sense of the word. It's a big job, people. How heavy is this armor? Probably heavier than any metal. But the epistle reading is printed on one paragraph. There's really a space between the pieces of armor that comes and the next thing that comes in the reading. The armor is so heavy that it crushes you and you fall to your knees. And that's what Paul is emphasizing, because the next word he says is pray. Be on your knees and pray. The army is so heavy it collapses you, brings us to our knees. Pray in the Spirit at all times, he says, after every prayer and supplication. Be centered in prayer. That's how you get through these times, spend time centering prayer, rosary, whatever you need to do, spend the time on a routine every single day, and things will begin to change. You'll find yourself less upset with what's going around the world because Christ is coming and making himself present to you. So, and if you need an example, probably Jesus is the best example. He's always sneaking off to the hills and praying. He's going down to the lake and praying. He's going here and praying. He goes to Gethsemane and he prays. He kept his centeredness with his God, his Father, by constantly praying. I wish they had emphasized more of that in Scripture, but it's there. So how do we find these pieces of armor? In St. Peter, in today's gospel, would say, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You, Lord, have the pieces of the armor. We find the words of eternal life in the Eucharist and the way to detect the ways of the devil so often hidden from us. And I think that the main arrow of the devil today is to prevent us from going deeply into the Eucharist. The devil's a liar. The devil's cunning. And you know what? He really wants you to go to the Eucharist, but then don't think too much of it. Just go up there, go through the action, and then run out the door. You've done your thing. You don't have to go any deeper into it. You don't have to see anything else. Don't go too deeply. One of the most powerful wiles or strategies that the devil uses is don't let the Eucharist take a hold of you. The world's not such a great place anyway, he'd say. Look at how divided the world is, divided into black, white, hot, cold, good, evil, masker, non-masker, vaccinator, non-vaccinator. And one of the two ways, if you get into that, is better than another. When we see the world in this way, we no longer see God. We're taking sides. We only see the games that divide us. We take a side. God is no longer clearly center. And you know what? That's when the devil wins. We've dropped our armor. We find ourselves acting like a foreign God who judges and pronounces what's good and evil. We push a God of love out of the equation, and we become the center of all that's happening. So, how do we learn to stay away from the strategy of the devil? I think a lot of it is based in our concept of God, who we think God is, and how we work with that, and what the Eucharist is. And sometimes these are really easy, but also really difficult concepts. So I'm going to like step out of my comfort zone and try to show a few things and see if it resonates with some of you. The people in the earlier service says, you're using visuals. Oh, thank you. So I'm going to use visuals again. I remember from the Nicene Creed, you hear the words again, God from God, light from light, light from light, true God, begotten, not made of one substance with the Father, light from light. I am the light of the world. At times we think of, At times we think that God is like a little human being somewhere that we can control. And I like light from light. God's something I don't understand. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I don't get it. And I don't understand these things either. But it gives light. Kind of, I think, like God gives light. And the light has come into the world to do different things. Our world is made up of, we call dualisms, thinking of this and that. If I would say, this is hot, and I would bring up another vase,
you would say this most likely is, oh, you got it right away. Ooh, quicker than the earlier group. Hot, cold. And we use another one, we'll say winter.
Summer.
No, why don't you say spring or fall? Because you're thinking in terms of two in opposites. And which ones do you like better? Who likes this one better? Summer. Who likes summer? Who likes winter? Like winter. So we got a split there. So you're both taking sides already. So if you go far enough, what's going to happen is, you know, all those people that like winter are going to be on one side and all those people like summer on the other side. And then you're all going to run for the thermostat in the corner and adjust it up and down depending on what you like, right? Beginning of the war, right there. It begins in our thinking of how we think about it. When we look at these objects instead of being colors or heat, and we look at it in terms of people, we begin to do the same thing. If I would say white person, the term that would come up to you probably is color, black. Yeah, right there. So you got a dualism going on. If I would say American, and I would say Taliban, which one do you want? Which one do you want? American, Taliban. So God favors the Americans over the Taliban? Ouch. Tricky question, isn't it? God actually takes his light and actually puts that light into each one of us. Light of the world, the light of Christ, sinks deep into each one of us. Problem is that if we continue to hold to our positions, our political parties, our race, whatever you want, you can't see that light. All you do is see the outside, so this thing fights this thing. That thing fights this thing. We look at people and saying, that's a good person, that's a bad person. And the entire time, God is saying, I love you all. You don't do things quite right, but I love you all. So we have a hard time with this as Christians. And when you get in society and you see the signs and you see the big rallies and stuff, people are taking sides to get their agenda met. And God says, but I love you all. So I can't understand how that would be. So there's a unique thing about different religions too. You can say, here's a Hindu. Here's the Sikh, here's the Shinto, all different religions. What makes Christianity different from all other religions? No, it's a little bit better. It's kind of American or British or whatever you want. And it's a little better and God is more powerful than the other gods. It's not the difference. The core of every religion, way, way, way deep, is the fact that light comes to you. The problem is that the light gets buried in the surface. We don't see each other as children of God. In Christianity, the difference is you don't need to work your way to God. In all the other religions of the world, you have to do something to work your way to God. In Christianity, God comes to you. That's the joy. That's the joy, so you don't have to worry. God keeps coming to you again and again and again. You don't have to climb up there to get to God. It's the only religion that does that. That was the incarnation. That was the Christ. And Christ continually comes to us. And we continually try to work with you on that in the scripture lessons. In using the light, God comes to us. In a very different way. In the Eucharist. light is there. It's the power of the Eucharist. The light of Christ is in the bread. This is my body, which is given for you. That light reappears again. And as you take it, you change. You can relax. You don't have to listen to what the world says. You're centered with God. If you've got sins that you need to get rid of, they're already given away. Christ is taking care of it. You are taking care of it in the bread and in the wine. And as we go forth, if we don't do anything with it, again, you see nothing. And you could have Eucharist there, but nothing there. Christ requires something else. And that's the fact that when you're out there on the street in the round, they can see the light of Christ in you. It's not just a hollow or a solid block. It's light showing outward. And I think as Christians, we have a hard time with it. Because, you know, when I grew up, we had to go up and go down to the knock on neighbors' doors and try to get them to convert to Christ, which I never quite got along with. But that's not what you need to do. The light of Christ shows in all of your activities. And I think you start small. You don't start by taking the war in Afghanistan and turning it upside down, the politics the Republican and Democratic Party and all the racial issues. What you do is you start with becoming yourself and introducing yourself to one other person. I go to the store, I go to Starbucks fairly frequently. I happen to like the little teeny cappuccinos. And when I go in there, everybody says, "Hi, John." Now, they don't know I'm a priest. They have no idea. They don't know my past history. All they know is that when I come into the store, I ask them, "Hey, what's your name? How are you doing? Where'd you get that? Well, you've got kids." And after a while, a relationship develops. God is relationship. God wants you to have relationship. It's not these big conversion things. It's small conversation. It's taking time. When you go down to Rochester, do people on the street say, "That person's different? Are you different?" And then you could say, "Does that person go to St. Philip's?" "I don't know. Never saw anybody from St. Philip's." So the question is this week, how do you let your light shine? How do you let it shine? The more you focus on that light and Christ coming to you, the less the anxieties are going to be there. God will take care of you. It's got you in his hands, not in religion. So hopefully this catalyzes a few things in your thoughts about where God is and how God might work. The fact that we see the outside of people and not the inside, that's our work.
We'll close with sound, just pieces from Psalm 91. I think that's a good way to pull this together. "He who dwells, or she who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God and my trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes the noonday. God will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. Fear not, be not anxious. His faithfulness is your shield and buckler. Only you, Lord, have the words of eternal life.